Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us for the last segment of the day at 844-967-2789.
That's kind of nice. It's got sort of a nice tone to it.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Tuesday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Glorious weekend in Milwaukee. Joe Biden on the ground giving a hell of a speech. Even backslapped the hecklers. You know, even the idiots should have their
Everyone
say, apparently,
right,
Dom.
To be an idiot.
Well, something like that. Well, let's talk about the former idiot in chief, Donald Trump. Dom, he got a legal win of sorts. Felt like sort of a fixed justice circumstance. One of his own appointees approved to the federal courts after he lost re-election and ruled unqualified by the, what was it? Oh, yeah, the American Bar Association. They said she was unqualified for the role. And she, through some twisted sense of logic, has given him a reprieve, Dom. And in the meantime said, and FBI, federal investigators, DOJ, you can't look at the documents you've seized. So I know this was an important issue to you, Dom. Let's hear about it.
It is a little frustrating, but let's get some background here. Opinion piece, Paul Waldman, a Trump judge's appalling Mar-a-Lago order signals a grim future. I'll start it off here. Crudy, nutty, crazy, twisting the law into a pretzel, a poorly sewn together fabric of factual misstatements and legal BS. Laughably bad. So bad, it's hard to know where to begin. Frankly, any of my first year law students would have written a better opinion. Those were some of the reaction from legal experts to U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon's decision to grant Donald Trump's request for a special master to review documents seized from the former president's Mar-a-Lago estate in August, in an August search that turned up boxes full of classified, secret, and top secret information. The request could push resolution of the case past the 2024 election.
Well, I think that's what they intended, right, Dom? That's exactly what they wanted. It was really just a hurry up and stall.
This judge would give Trump whatever he wanted was sadly not a surprise. She was appointed by Trump and confirmed after his defeat, but before Democrats took control of the Senate in 2021. We've come to expect that if that's how someone got on the bench, they'll likely show themselves to be a Trumpist political operative in a robe rather than an objective jurist. This is our new reality. Nearly every political controversy will include a vital legal component in which Republicans find a friendly Trump judge to grant whatever preposterous request they make, injecting the courts in place after place they have little or no business meddling. In some cases, writes Waldman, including this one, it might merely slow things down, giving the GOP time to press its advantage or avoid disaster. In other cases, it will give Republicans an outright victory on their policy goals or the procedures that help them win more elections. But we're now in an era in which the courts are more political than ever. Crudy, this is not an accident, and while it suits Trump perfectly, it was not his design. He was the vehicle of a transformation planned and executed by the Federalist Society, the wider conservative legal movement, and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. The plan was not just to install as many conservative judges as possible, but to politicize the courts in an unprecedented way.
Dominic, that's why Trump appointees were qualitatively different than those of the previous Republican presidents. The Bushes and Ronald Reagan appointed lots of conservative judges, but they also tended to have substantial legal credentials. Even as they leaned towards conservative outcomes, they also maintained a foundation of respect for the system and the law, and they usually, though not always, had some shame, a desire to maintain a reputation as fair and objective jurist. I almost had a laugh aloud the first time I read that, Tom. This is most assuredly not how the average judge appointed by Trump sees their role. Cannon's ruling is the latest example, but we've seen others before. Back in April, District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell in Florida issued a nationwide injunction ending the mask mandate on interstate travel on the ludicrous grounds that stopping the spread of an airport virus by requiring masks on planes and trains was outside the purview of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. How dare they? Right. How presumptuous. Everyone knew what was really going on. Mizell's legal analysis was inane, but it didn't have to be grounded in any reasonable reading of the law. All that mattered was she delivered the outcome Republicans wanted. Like Cannon, Mizell was confirmed after Trump lost the election. Like a number of Trump other nominees, Mizell was rated not qualified by the American Bar Association. But every Republican present in the Senate voted to confirm her. Conservatives and alleged moderates alike, they knew exactly what they were getting, and it was just what they wanted. The shift in the GOP thinking on the judiciary form from we want conservative judges to we want partisan hacks didn't start with Trump. You may recall that Republicans decided the extremely conservative Chief Justice John Roberts was a traitor because he didn't want to strike down the Affordable Care Act on the dubious grounds Republicans had offered in their many lawsuits against it. That's because they now have a basic expectation that if you're a Republican appointed judge, it's your job to nullify laws passed by the Democratic Congress and to keep Democratic presidents from carrying out their agendas. And if a former Republican president is under investigation for crimes, GOP appointed judges make sure the law treats him with a deference afforded to no other suspect. This is our future. As long as Trump judges remain on the bench, in every election, every issue debate, every controversy, the first thing Republicans will do is prepare their lawsuits and start shopping for Trump judges that will be guaranteed to rule in their favor. And they won't win every case, and they did fail to get the courts to overturn the 2020 election. And even the right-wing supermajority on the Supreme Court will rule against them from time to time. But they got the judiciary they wanted, one dominated by hacks whose respect for the law will almost always yield to GOP partisan interest. And they're going to use it. Dom, I would point out, here in the state of Wisconsin, what is no greater crime than that of Brian Hagedorn, the former Scott Walker lawyer who was elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and has shown a little bit of judicial independence, right? Depending on the issue. I mean, he's still pretty damn conservative.
Right, dude.
But the greatest crime of any Supreme Court jurist in the state of Wisconsin, Republican elected, is to go against the party. Law be damned. It's all about the outcomes. And what about the last Wisconsin Supreme Court justice of some notoriety? We've talked about him quite a bit. The corrupted Michael Gabelman. Do you have any doubt after his 10-year term on the court and you saw how he acted as the outside special sauce counselor? Do you have any doubt at the corruption at this man's core? Do you have any doubt what a partisan hack he was on the courts for a decade? And do you know how important it will be in the state of Wisconsin if we want any semblance of fair governance to win the court race next spring? And it ain't Hagedorn. It's not the judicial independent, pretty conservative jurist on the ballot. It will be a non-incumbent race. The chief, stolen chief, Patience Rogenstack, she's not running for re-election. She's retiring from the court. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. But we, the people, and I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm talking about we, the people, need a fair jurist on that court if we're going to have any sort of semblance of governance for the next decade. Because with the gerrymander here, dude, there ain't no fair legislative maneuvering. And the best we can hope for is a goalie and Tony Evers, right? And winning back the court.
That will be huge. 844-967-2789. Some other pieces out there about what's next, what the DOJ could possibly do. We'll get to that in a moment. In the meantime, let's get some callers at 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Aren't you being a little hard on Michaels? He didn't say handguns and hand grenades. I mean...
But pitchforks also and torches. What is the point of all that, right? I mean, this isn't saying let's go have a picnic.
I know. But two things. Biden over the weekend or last Thursday, his horribly divisive speech, and then Trump with his speech. Okay, first of all, how is it divisive when you just point out what the man has said for the last 6 years, like as he came down the escalator, you know, these people are coming over the border. They're rapists and they're murderers and, you know, all the rest of it. But
and many good people, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm really surprised about this, guys. That speech that Trump gave, there's a part of it that nobody has gotten to, and it's, you know, he rambles on for 2 hours. But he mentioned, you know, Sleepy Joe and all the stuff he says. He mentioned that he had dinner with Mark Zuckerberg at the White House.
Last month.
Did you see that?
Yeah, he claimed he had dinner at the White House last month.
Now, why is not the Democratic Party put that on a continuous loop, and whenever it's brought up that Biden might be a little light in the loafers, this guy, I mean, come on. This is crazy.
Well, crazy is about as good as it ever really got with Trump. I mean, that party have forgiven far worse indiscretions than a little misspeak from the campaign trail. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The fact that he might have early or mid or late onset dementia, they don't hold that against Trump. Hell, the man's corrupt to the bone,
and it's gonna continue to vote for him again. You hear Trump rip on Joe Biden for acting exactly the way Trump just did. Oh, I just had dinner with Mark Zuckerberg. He came over to the White House the other day and kissed my ass. Told me you're number one on Facebook. It's like, dude, that was like 2 years ago, man.
He hadn't even been on Facebook in 2 years. He's been banned since January 6th, right?
Well, that was Twitter, man. I don't know how long ago that's been. Was that also Facebook at the same time?
I believe he's been off the Facebook since January 6th of 2021.
But as far as he's concerned, that was just last week. I mean, what Looney Tunes, man?
Seems like just yesterday we were in college, man.
Yeah, it does.
Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Technically, we were at Joe Biden.
I never broke the law. I am the law.
That's amazing. How did you do that?
But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy.
This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
President Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election.
Collectively, Republicans got 1.661 million votes, 51,000 more votes than Trump got.
He exhausted his cases. He exhausted the court challenges.
All the Republicans voted for Trump the way they voted for the assembly candidates. He said he would have won.
It was not rigged. It was not stolen. Donald Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election. It's really clear.
This message was paid for by the People for People People Corporation. Donate online at p4ppc.org.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've met Ted Cruz more than once. Once
in Dean, Wisconsin. Oh, yes, he has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids were like, "What,
Bobby?" He was invading lots of bubbles. "Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy."
Hey, you're a public girl.
Catching up after work.
Guys, this round's on me.
What? You stupid.
You said that? You really said that?
I knew you should have just seen it. Like, you should have been.
Getting back to the moments we miss starts with getting informed. Get the latest info about COVID-19 vaccines at getvaccineanswers.org. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, "Don't use me as your political prop."
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. "Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump." That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Calls always welcome, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we've got an update on where's Mandela Barnes. The campaign, apparently Mandela has responded to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as to why he wasn't hanging out with Joe Biden yesterday. Sophia Voigt reports, a day after sidestepping an appearance with President Joe Biden at Milwaukee's Labor Fest, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said he instead went to Racine, where union members have been on a three-month strike. We were actually in Racine taking groceries down to striking UAW workers because they've been out there for about 120 days or more, Barnes told reporters Tuesday at a campaign event for organized labor held at the Hinterland Brewery in Ashwaubenon. "That's where my priorities have been." Republicans called out Barnes on social media for missing the president's visit, while on Tuesday, Republican Attorney General candidate Eric Toney chided incumbent Josh Call for also skipping the Biden event. Democratic Governor Tony Evers, he was there, right, Dom? He gave, you know, a fine speech. Shared the Labor Fest stage with Biden, who has a low approval in Wisconsin and nationally. Well, compared to Trump, not so low. Even though Barnes avoided being on stage with Biden, the state's lieutenant governor says he's really grateful that the president has shown support for the labor movement here in Wisconsin. He also showed a little support for you, Mandela. As we mentioned, when President Biden acknowledged Mandela from Labor Fest yesterday, loudest cheer of the day. Barnes, who is challenging incumbent U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, marched at the Labor Fest parade before Biden's arrival. As I pointed out, Dom, he was in Milwaukee marching at Labor Fest. He could have been there. But then headed to Racine to strike with unionized workers at the C&H Industrial Company. So I'm telling you, man, just say I had other places to be, but I'm not sure if you were marching with labor in the streets of Milwaukee and then went to Racine. Joe Biden's speech was done by 1 o'clock. You could have listened to it, right?
mean, yes, of course. Of course.
You think they listened to it on 5:40 a.m.
If the candidate wanted to be there, the candidate could have been there, right? I mean, there's nothing saying that he could not have made that happen. But then that was, you know, ultimately their choice. Obviously, I disagree with it, but, you know, what are you going to do? You got to keep on moving. And at least he wasn't, you know, out golfing. He was literally out supporting
labor.
Labor. So good for him in that regard.
Do you think Ron Johnson was out marching with some union workers this weekend? Out there supporting labor?
I highly doubt it. I mentioned it yesterday, though, Crudy. I think it's worth at least a restating. You know, labor can be one of those things that bring people together. There are conservatives, obviously, in the labor movement. There's progressives and centrists, Democrats in the labor movement. I mean, it's hard to argue with, you know, safe working conditions, collective bargaining, representation, fair wages, those kind of, you know, insurance benefits, those kinds of things.
Scott Walker will make that argument against.
Well, you can make it. You can make it. But I think given what we've seen over the last, you know, several decades and where we are at now, and as these the younger workers now are organizing and very successfully so, I'm hopeful that that can actually be a coming together for different political ideologies around organized labor and around working families.
Well, as you mentioned during the during the big broadcast, the special event yesterday, labor, best opinion the American public's had about labor in what? Many, many years.
57 years.
Dominic, during the president's visit to Milwaukee, Biden criticized Ron Johnson on drug pricing, social insurance programs, and the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. You know, Ron was only involved for, you know, a couple of seconds, no more than a couple of minutes.
And it was a peaceful protest. Very festive.
Yes. Barnes also jabbed Rojo during his campaign event with union workers Tuesday for not trying to persuade Wisconsin manufacturer Oshkosh Corp to place more than 1,000 new jobs in the senator's hometown. Right? Ron wouldn't go to bet for Osh Vegas, baby. Ron wouldn't step up for Oshkosh.
We have enough jobs. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's totally believable, but it's very disappointing.
Here's what Barnes had to say. Ron Johnson wants to make it easier for companies to offshore. He told the crowd, Barnes did, if he's going to send jobs to South Carolina, he'll gladly send jobs out of the country. In early 2021, of course, Don, we reported this on the air, Oshkosh Corp secured a multi-billion dollar federal contract to build up to 165,000 postal trucks requiring 1,000 new assembly workers. And just months later, Oshkosh Defense announced it would not build the postal trucks at the existing Oshkosh assembly lines, but shift production to an industrial site in South Carolina. UAW member Tim Jacobson told the crowd Tuesday that Johnson had promised union members a meeting between him and Oshkosh Corp leadership in February. But here's a shocker, Dom. Rojo never delivered on that promise.
Weird.
Ron Johnson doesn't care about us, Jacobson said. He cares about his wealthy corporations like Oshkosh Corp. And don't forget the Uhlines and the Widow Hendricks. He's got at least three big corporations he loves. Because they're big donors, at least in two cases.
And Michaels are all about the working person, right? That's what they're claiming.
Hey, if you say something otherwise,
the working party or the working man, right?
If you say otherwise, I'm going to inspire people to take up pitchforks and torches and come to your house.
If I don't toe the line, if I don't kiss Tim Michaels' ass, he's going to threaten us with pitchforks and torches?
Because it'd be a long march from Connecticut, Tim. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It sounds like kind of a hollow threat. I'm just saying. Anyways, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We try to bring you nothing but the most relevant political experience we possibly can. I mean, hell, man, just this month. Well, I guess we flipped to September now, but just in the last 20, 30 days, we've been to a Trump rally. We broadcast live from a Joe Biden rally. Dom puff, puff, passed with some Trumpsters, some semi-fascists. And I think I saw two of you leaving the event together, Dom. You didn't get lucky with that Trumpster, did you?
No, it wasn't the Trumpsters, man. I did not leave with the Trumpsters.
Just checking. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Don't leave yet. The show ain't over. You could be a part. 844-96-PARTY.
Where's Waldo?
It's supposed to be far away.
Over here, Wenda.
The Devil's Advocates. The fix for political junkies everywhere.
There seemingly is a willingness amongst Republicans to subvert future elections. How troubling is that to you, man?
Yeah, I think it's more than troubling. It's the core issue in the upcoming elections in 22 and 24, and it's going to be seen that way by historians. These people are out to destroy the democracy. To me, that is the linchpin issue in the upcoming election.
To what end, Matt?
Do we destroy our democracy or not?
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Devil's Advocates.
Matt from Mount Horeb. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
I don't get these people, man. All these teachers are groomers and pedophiles. We need them armed to the teeth. The only way.
Right.
Don't. I mean, is your name Jeffrey Lebowski? Because your mind is limber.
Oh, I
appreciate
God.
You listening.
That's a great point, though. Yes, the teachers, they're the ones doing the indoctrination, right? The teachers are the ones that are woke. Give them guns.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.